Welcome to the Empowerment Zone. Each week, psychic healer Bonnie Jean and Belle Salisbury interview guests who share with you cutting-edge manifesting techniques that empower you for success. The Empowerment Zone will guide you to being more conscious, mentally, physically, emotionally, and spiritually, so that you can ascend from fear to hope. Stay to the end of the show for a group active meditation that will release the energy of fear, worry, doubt, depression, and anxiety, and replace it with the energy of love, hope, peace, joy, and happiness. This energy leads to success, and we invite you to share in the meditation. To get in line to ask your question, please call 602-753-1549 or post your questions on chat. Now on to the Empowerment Zone.
Greetings. Welcome to Triangle Variety Show, the Empowerment Zone. This is Bonnie, and I want to thank you for taking your valuable time to tune in and listen to us today as we guide you and empower you to be the master of your destiny. I am a master psychic healer and a teacher, and I'm a natural born psychic who is professionally trained to read and move energy. My training started at the age of 6 through my mother, and I became professionally certified as a teacher through Golden Rose Psychic Services. I have been experimenting with how the universe works consciously since the age of 13, and I enjoy helping clients to connect with their spirit guides and angels and to find happiness and peace, as well as to locate missing items and people. And I am joined by my wonderful co-host, Belle Salisbury, who is a psychic medium and spiritual counselor. In addition to offering guidance to her clients, she has assisted in many murder and missing person cases, giving valued information to bring about resolve to unanswered questions by seeing through the eyes of the victim, often giving details of the event, description of the perpetrators, vehicles, and the location of the crime. Belle is the owner and creator of an online magazine called Belle Spree, which brings knowledge and inspiration to those who seek knowledge around spirituality and the paranormal, and can be found at www.bellesprit.com. And if you want to listen in, Belle also hosts a radio show called Live with Belle Salisbury on Fridays from 8 to 9 p.m. Eastern Standard Time, which brings education for the body, mind, and spirit. Well, we have a really incredible show planned for you tonight, and it will help those who are interested in making permanent changes to your life. We're going to be discussing something called the synthesis effect from a spiritual perspective with a slant on consciousness and subconscious thought process, and we're going to combine it with quantum physics and how it works when it comes to manifesting. So, Belle, how are you tonight?
I'm good, Bonnie. I'm good. Hope you are.
I am wonderful. Did you have a wonderful Easter?
I did. I did. We had bunny poop all over the house.
Oh, no.
it's a tradition in my husband's family that the Easter Bunny leaves, you know, the wrapped chocolate candies all around the house, and he calls it bunny poop.
Oh, and so, how cool.
So the kids came over, and they, you know, had to clean up all the poop.
Oh, how wonderful. Well, I know I've been still eating a lot of hard-boiled eggs, so.
Oh, dear.
You know. But spring is here. Spring is here. We're starting to stretch. You know, we're able to get outside more. And this is a really a perfect time to making changes You know, Belle, and what we're talking about tonight with our guest, John McGale, is the synthesis effect. And he teaches people how to make really lasting changes in their world. And, you know, Belle, I have my own opinions from clients that I see. You know, what do you think leads one to making changes in their world?
Dissatisfaction or a feeling of not accomplishing where they feel they should be. Do you know what I mean? It's like being tired,
right.
Sick and tired.
Yes. Yeah, usually it's pain. There's some type
of
deep
and fear.
Pain. Yes. Fear is a big one. Fear will light a fire under us in a heartbeat. There's sadness, discontent, desperation.
Anxiety.
Most people don't change because they're happy. They change because they're sad, because they're, you know, I think as human beings, we know we're supposed to be happy. And I personally believe, you know, God wants us to be happy. We're here to enjoy this walk as spirits in human form. Now, when a client comes to you and they're ready to make changes in their world, do you have certain things that you help them with, that you help them to make changes with?
Well, you know, I'm a big fan of meditation and visualization. And so when I'm working with a client that comes to me with, as we said, fear or pain, I kind of want to take them back to when it first began. And a lot of times they don't have the answer. They don't know when it started. And so we continue to sort of travel back and we reconnect them with their power in that meditative state. For an example, you know, I had a client that was dealing with a lot of anger, and he was the chubby kid in school, and the kids would pick on him and tease him, and he felt powerless. And I took him back to that time frame and told him, you now have permission to speak. Tell these people how you feel. Tell them how it felt. You know, and he just went on, and he just told everybody what for, you know. And when he came out of that meditation, his shoulders were squared back, his chest was out. You know, you could tell that there was something that was released during just that one simple process.
Yeah. And meditation is a great one. You know, I have about five things that I recommend that if you're listening to this show and you're desperate or you're in pain, you're discontent, obviously you can call Belle or I and we can empower you. But some of the, I'm going to say the top five things, if anybody right now is desperate for change, is number one, to start a mantra with I am grateful. Something that, you know, I tell this story. There, I have degenerative disc arthritis, and I took a tumble on a trampoline, Belle, and it was, you know, one of those where I think I've told this story before. I ended up in the hospital, and, you know, they were very grateful that I wasn't paralyzed. I was very lucky. And so I would sit there in my neck brace, you know, unable to really move all that much. And I would say, I am grateful that I'm running and jumping again. So to fast forward, if you're going through any type of pain, you can make a mantra that says, I am grateful to be running and jumping, or I am grateful to be successful. And mantras are from, you know, your lips to God's ears. And the next thing I try to help people with is to set goals. You know, if you're having problems with money, sometimes it means you have to, you know, your mantra can focus on money, but maybe you need to kick your butt in gear and go look for new opportunities. You know, so you have to have goals, and, you know, they need to be achievable. They need to have a deadline, you know, and I'm the kind of person that I've worked with a therapist, and the therapist has said, okay, have 5 goals that you're going to accomplish between now and 6 months. So not only do you have to have mantras, goals, and meditation, but you also really want to clear your connection to God. I say that because whether you call it God, Source, the Supreme Being, Buddha, the Creator, there is inspiration and guidance when you have a daily connection to Source, you know, and by having that connection to Source, you're going to be stronger, you know. Through Source, all things are possible, and I think we sometimes lose sight of the fact that we, through our words and through our thoughts, we have a great connection to Source if we just use it. And the fifth thing I recommend, Belle, for anyone who's listening that's trying to change their life, is daily gratitude. And I know you get up every day, mm-hmm. and you're exceedingly grateful.
Yep. Yep. I get up every morning, and the first thing I do is I start with my, you know, my morning prayer of gratitude. I'm grateful for this wonderful day. Even if it's raining, I'm grateful for the rain that helps the grass to grow, the flowers to grow. You know, you can find gratitude in even the most difficult situations, which makes them, to me, a lot less difficult.
Right, right. You know, Belle, could you maybe give a story or share, but has there been any time where maybe you really were through a dark time, had to stay grateful? Because people don't understand. We sit here and talk about this, you know. There was one point in my life that I went through an accident, and I couldn't work for 6 months, and I lost, you know, my home and everything. And I had to find every day something to be grateful for, even though I couldn't work, you know, and I had no money and I was being supported by my brother. You know, I took a real severe loss and I had to stay grateful. And, you know, I've been able to come back and, you know, reestablish myself. But, you know, what have you ever gone through anything where everything around you looked desolate, but yet your gratitude kept you going?
Yeah, I actually kind of like you. I had an accident. I broke my ankle and ended up in a cast for a year. And of course, that having surgery and another cast, and you know, taking that off, and you know, therapy, and the end result was I lost the feeling in my foot, and I literally could not feel my foot touching the ground, and my eyes would tell me that your foot's on the ground, but my brain was not registering, and so that was a very strange thing to overcome. And it was, you know, learning trust. And so I started with the gratitude effect, with I'm so grateful that I have a foot. I'm grateful that, you know, my foot is on the ground. And I'm grateful for my husband who holds my hand everywhere I go. You know, because even if the ground dipped just a little bit, I wouldn't feel it, so I wouldn't know to adjust my balance. You know, and so it. You know, you start with just being grateful for, you know, the very smallest of things. And then, of course, 2 years afterwards, I fell again and broke the same foot in 5 places. And I'm sitting there in the emergency room, and I knew it was broken. And I'm sitting there, and we're waiting to be x-rayed and to be looked at. And all of a sudden, I looked at my husband, and I went, ow. And he goes, ow? And I went, yeah, ow, because it started hurting. I felt the pain. And we're sitting in the emergency room excited and happy because my foot was killing me. And so
but,
I kind of wonder, so did
maybe
that happen because of my gratitude that I was able to gain some of the feeling, not 100% of it, but, you know, some of that feeling back? Was it because of gratitude? I think so.
Yes, gratitude is miracles in action. Mm-hmm. You know, when you count your blessings, it really is. And, Belle, that is such a wonderful story because I really got the feeling that you didn't know whether or not you were going to make it to the other side, you know, and be okay. So,
yeah.
Belle, you know, let's see what John has to say and get John on the phone because he has the synthesis effect. And this is Dr. John McGrail, PhD. He's a renowned hypnotherapist, personal success coach, spiritual teacher, and a leading media expert on the topic of personal improvement. He's a former military officer, aviator, and mass media professional, and he has combined more than 30 years of teaching, coaching, and mentoring experience with his work in clinical hypnotherapy to create what he calls synthesis, a powerful process for generating personal change and transformation quickly and profoundly. You know, the impression I get from John is he doesn't want to draw out the healing. He wants it to work as quick as possible. And synthesis works through an exclusive mixture of models, techniques, traditions, and wisdoms. And when you listen to him, you'll really hear that he integrates science and spirit, making the process of changing your life both easy and enjoyable, and ensuring that the results are powerful, effective, and permanent. And that's the important thing, permanent change. And Dr. John has helped thousands of clients and workshop students bring lasting change, growth, and transformation into every aspect of their life. He is a frequent guest on radio and television shows, and his writing and expertise has been featured in numerous national public publications and major online outlets, Time, Reader's Digest, U.S. News, World Report, Self, Cosmopolitan, Ladies Home Journal, Chicago Tribune, WebMD, the list goes on. And John has a book that he'll be talking about tonight called The Synthesis Effect, which is receiving rave reviews. Dr. John resides in Los Angeles, California, and his websites can be found at www.drjohnmcgrail.com and hypnotherapylosangeles.com. Dr. John, are you there?
I am, Bonnie. How are you?
Oh, I am just wonderful. First, thank you for being on the show. What a pleasure to have someone of your caliber join us.
Well, it is a great honor to be with you and Belle tonight. Thank you so much for having me.
Thank you. Well, let's dive right in. As you know, I have a ton of questions for you. But first and foremost, how did you arrive at the synthesis effect practice? What was your spiritual path leading up to your awakening in consciousness?
Well, my awakening happened before the synthesis effect, and as I so freely share in the book, at one point in my life, I was a pretty unhappy camper. You know, we all have stuff, as you and Belle were discussing. We feel broken. We are sick and tired of feeling sick and tired. And there was a time in my life when I was a pretty unhappy camper. I was very insecure. I was addicted to tobacco. I had a really terrible marriage, two nice people that just didn't belong together. I was very uptight and stressed. And I had an awakening. That's what I call it. I call it rediscovering yourself through a variety of events. But what it led me to do was to really begin to study and explore my own spirituality and then native philosophies and on. And that gradually led to me going back to school to get certified, first in hypnotherapy and then later my PhD. And the synthesis effect really was the result of my research for my dissertation. I was trying to figure out what to write a dissertation about. I mean, I was sitting there saying, what do I possibly have to add to human behavior? We've been doing this for, you know, hundreds of thousands of years, and it's all been written. I've read hundreds of books. And then I realized that right in front of me, I had about 1,000 cases, clinical cases, and I had an inspiration, and I can only call it divine inspiration. I said, wait a second, let me take a look at all my cases and see if I can try to find the common denominators between the people who did really, really well, the clients who got it quickly and just, you know, just really soared with their change and transformation, the ones that did okay, and the ones that didn't. There aren't too many of them, but still they're there. And so literally I began to analyze 1,000 cases that had taken place over 6 years, and I started seeing the common denominators. That, in combination with my research and learning, is what evolved into what I call synthesis, which is the process I use to help people.
And what exactly is the synthesis effect, and how does it correlate to quantum physics?
Well, the effect, which is the title of the book, is learning how to live your life powerfully so that you manifest joy, abundance, happiness, love, whatever it is that you're missing or wanting. The effect is what I like to call rule number one, which is life is supposed to be fun. And I think you mentioned early in the show, I was listening in, that we are supposed to be happy, and we know that intuitively. Deep inside of us, we know that we're not supposed to feel broken. We're supposed to be happy. We're supposed to like our lives. And so the effect is getting to that place where you really like who you are, the choices you're making, the relationships you have. You love, hopefully, what you're doing for a living. And you wake up every day, not just in gratitude, but looking forward to the day and with enthusiasm and what I like to call delicious anticipation. That's the synthesis effect. The process is how you get there. And essentially, what it has to do with quantum physics is that, you know, we in Western culture, and I know both of you are very aware of this, we have been thinking very empiristically, sorry, that's the wrong way to say it. We are very empiricist in our thinking. We have to see in order to believe. Show me, prove it. That's the basis of Western science. If you can't prove it, I'm not going to believe it. And to an extent, that works really well. And the science of quantum physics is the study of the essence of matter and energy, the building blocks of everything that exists. And, you know, to put it really briefly, what quantum physicists have proven, and I love the irony in this, using hard Western scientific rigor, I'll believe it when I see it, what they're proving is that the universe that we live in and everything in it is basically made of one thing, energy. Now, energy is expressed in a variety of ways. We have frequencies and vibrations, and we have light and electricity and radiation. But if you get small enough, and that's what quantum physics is about, what they found is that if you get small enough, energy is energy is energy. So in essence, we are nothing more than energy that is expressed in miraculous ways, obviously human beings, physical, emotional, mental, spiritual. But those are all energies. And quantum physics helps us understand that while we feel like life is happening to us, in essence, through our energetic interactions, we are creating our reality. Good or bad, happy or sad, painful or pleasurable, doesn't matter. It feels like it's happening to us, but in reality, we are creating it. And that's what quantum physics is proving.
Yes, and we can shape that energy. Now, how much of your practice when do you find that I love what you said, but how much do you find that people kind of mess up on the difference between conscious thought and subconscious thought? Because subconscious thought plays such a huge role in what we manifest.
Well, quite frankly, most of my clients, when they first come to see me, and most of my workshop students or seminar students, are not really aware of the dynamics between the conscious and the subconscious. And the easiest way to understand that, I think, is using a metaphor. I'm sure most people know that modern jetliners, airplanes, have what's called an autopilot. And most of the time, the plane is flying itself. You know, you take off from New York and the pilot hits a button and the plane, you know, the autopilot knows how to fly to California, and actually it can land all by itself. It's really amazing how technologically advanced they are. But if you think of the human mind, the conscious part of our mind is about 10% of the total capacity. The subconscious part, which operates automatically, hence subconsciously, is about 90% of the mind. And very much like an airplane, it is sort of like the autopilot. It's like a computer. And once a computer is programmed, it will play its programs over and over and over again. Whether they're positive or negative, the computer doesn't care. It will just play its routines. And so the conscious part of our mind is like the pilot in the cockpit of an airplane, and the subconscious part of our mind is like the autopilot. And most of the time, you could say 90% of the time, the autopilot is flying the show or the plane, and most of the time we are operating on our subconscious computer. So it's very important for all my clients to understand that, because we're only used to thinking about the conscious mind, which is a tiny proportion of our mental power, if you will.
I like that analogy. That makes sense.
And it's so true when you think about it. And, you know, John, it makes me think about living in the moment. When we're not living and looking around us at what is, you know, that makes me think that's when we're on autopilot, when we're not living in the present.
Absolutely. And that's most of the time. And because, you know, just to get back to that autopilot metaphor, because it really is so very accurate. I have a boat out here in California. My wife and I actually live on it. It's kind of cool. But we have an autopilot on the boat. It's an old boat. It's about 35 years old. And it's a very antiquated compared to today's. So if I leave my harbor and I want to go out to Catalina Island, if I hit the autopilot, it will steer the boat in a direction. That's all it can do. What it doesn't know is that between me and Catalina is this huge peninsula. And it will happily run my boat right into that peninsula because it doesn't know it's there. It's a very, right? So our subconscious mind, our subconscious computer, if it's got bad programming like limiting beliefs or low self-esteem or low self-confidence, and we've been programmed at a very early age, as you said, most of the time that is what is governing our behavior. So most people are just sort of running on autopilot, reacting to things in their lives. And when you get mindful, great point that you made, when you become mindful and you're living in the moment, that's when you can start responding rather than reacting. And the response that we want is sort of like reprogramming the computer so that you get the results you want rather than the ones you thought you were stuck with. And that's the essence of what I do.
Right. And how does the synthesis effect empower people? Or, you know, what does it do that empowers them? What part of the process works?
Well, the entire process, which combines both conscious and unconscious tools and models, is really designed to help people unlearn the programs, if you will, the behavioral attitudes, the values, the limiting beliefs, low self-confidence, fears, or whatever it is that's holding them back. Remember, most of that happens, that programming happens at a very early age, and as we get older and older, it gets more and more ingrained and more automatic. Essentially, what we do is to unlearn those patterns, take the bad software out of the computer, and reprogram the subconscious computer so that it's running in alignment with the conscious desire. So, for instance, we'll take something really simple. Say someone is addicted to cigarettes and they want to quit smoking. Their conscious mind knows that smoking is dangerous, it's expensive, it's a dirty habit, and it will kill them. The subconscious mind says, oh, no, I like this, I need it, I have to have my 20 cigarettes a day or I can't get through life. So we have a conflict between the conscious mind and the subconscious computer, which has essentially been programmed to be addicted to cigarettes. When we use synthesis to change that dynamic, essentially we reteach the subconscious mind to operate in alignment. I don't need cigarettes. I don't want them. I don't need to spend the money. I feel calm, satisfied, and I am free of it. And so once that alignment takes place with a little reinforcement, which is what homework or self-work is about, and there are different exercises that I assign depending on the client and their needs, with reinforcement, that soon becomes the automatic behavior. As you both know, we have this marvelous phenomenon called neuroplasticity, and that is our brain's ability to rewire itself. And essentially,
yeah.
It's like cutting the wires on a circuit that's not working and rewiring a new circuit so that you get the what you want rather than what you thought you were stuck with. That's in essence what synthesis is all about, making that happen as quickly as possible.
I like that. That is great. John, we're going to go ahead and take a quick break here, and we will be right back with some more questions.
Excellent.
Psychic healer Bonnie Jean. Psychic healer Bonnie Jean is a master psychic who teaches psychic development and gives in-depth life-changing readings that are accurate and astounding. She is a medium, clairvoyant, clairaudient, channels, reads, and moves energy. Bonnie Jean remembers the day before she was born and is an author, a survivor of a near-death experience, and she has gone through a spontaneous Kundalini awakening. A session with Bonnie is empowering, and she gives you the tools to empower you during the session. Bonnie specializes in meditation for mental health disorders, including depression, anxiety, bipolar, and PTSD, in which she helps people to heal. Contact Bonnie at psychichealerbonniejean.com and book your psychic healing session today.
Reverend Belle Salisbury is an internationally recognized psychic medium known for her natural ability since childhood to see things that are going on around you and bring through messages from the spirit world. As a medium, Belle demonstrates her abilities by attuning herself to a higher frequency, along with help from those in the spirit world to bring messages from your loved ones. Belle Salisbury is able to cross the bridge between two worlds that allows her to see and communicate with your departed loved ones, helping to bring closure, resolve, and healing. As a psychic, Belle Salisbury offers readings for those seeking guidance, addressing your questions and concerns around your daily life with clarity and truth. Readings are available in person or by phone. For more information or to schedule an appointment, please call 910-229-3669. That's 910-229-3669. And please visit Belle at bellesalisbury.com to learn more about her services.
Well, John, welcome back, and welcome back to our audience. Let me ask you a question. I know you do hypnotherapy. What are the different practices or modalities that go into a session to make it a synthesis effect?
Well, hypnosis is a very powerful tool, as you know, because it allows us, if you will, to communicate directly with that part of the mind, the subconscious, that is governing so much of our behavior, our attitudes, our values and beliefs. It really sort of bypasses that critical filter that we have inside of us, and we all have it. It's a natural resistance to change. But hypnosis is very similar to meditation, which, as you both know, is a very, very powerful tool for creating systemic well-being on an energetic level. And so I use hypnosis a lot because it gives us that access to the mind, and we combine that with some very easy to understand models and metaphors so that we create an understanding. That's the first thing, is to create understanding. Most of the people that come to see me, when I ask them, and I think you mentioned this early in the show, you know, how did this start? I don't know. How long have you had it? As long as I can remember. They don't really know where it all came from. They just know this is how they feel, and they don't know how it started or when it started. So what I like to do is allow them to understand how and why we become who and what we are, how our minds get programmed, how the subconscious works, how the conscious works, and then we use these tools like hypnotherapy, NLP, neuro-linguistic programming, which is a fabulous technique,
yeah.
EFT, energy. I've developed some of my own tools, one called energy synchronization, which really just helps align the energy fields physically, emotionally, and spiritually, and there's no cookbook for it, but in the book and in my process in the clinic and in my workshops, we always start with creating understanding, because as you know, knowledge is power, and when you see the light bulb go, I say, oh, so that's how I got here. It doesn't take very long, and then we say, okay, well, here's a bunch of tools that you can use to now change that dynamic, and here's a methodology through which to use those tools. And so that's really how it comes together to synthesize a stronger individual, in essence. And hypnosis, meditation, NLP, EFT, my e-sync techniques, all of those and variations of those depending on the person and their needs are what go into creating the synthesis effect, which again is living rule number one. Life is supposed to be fun, and it can be.
Okay. John, we have another question for you, and that is, what happens on a quantum level from your training? What, you know, because we talked about everything being energy.
Yes.
What's happening on the that level of matter?
Well, essentially, if we think of ourselves as energetic beings, we are the energy of consciousness. We could call that spirit, which is connected to the energy of everything that exists. And again, the science behind this is overwhelming. And essentially what happens on a quantum level is that we are changing the balance of our energies. We balance and integrate physical energy, the energy of our body, with our mental energy, which I sort of consider the energy of our conscious cognitive mind, with our emotional energy, which is more subconsciously derived. And, of course, we get in tune and start nurturing our spiritual energy, which is the biggest and most powerful part of us, whether we like it or not. And modern Western technology-driven society is very, very afraid or weirded out by the concept of being spiritual beings. But we are spiritual beings. It's been scientifically proven. So essentially what happens on a quantum level, quantum, by the way, is just levels. Quantum physics is studying the levels of energy that create the existence of all matter. What we do in the human being is balance and integrate the energies of physical and emotional and spiritual. And once those energies are balanced and integrated, you have a very happy, productive, joyful human being. That's how we arrive into the world, by the way. We arrive in complete, total balance, and then it sort of gets beaten out of us as we grow up, you know, through mostly well-meaning people that, you know, just they take away our self-esteem and they take away the feeling of unconditional love. And Western culture doesn't really nurture spiritual energy. We're not taught to do that. And so what we do is really kind of get back to what I call our birthright, our natural way of being, which, by the way, all the native cultures of the world are very good at. We've just lost our way, and this sort of helps us find our way back.
Right. Now, let me ask you this. Do you do sessions over the phone or via Skype? Because it sounds to me like, you know, someone can definitely benefit from this. Do they have to be in your area?
Not at all. There are certain issues that I won't work with remotely, but it's amazing with modern technology, as much as it's sort of separated us from ourselves in some ways, because we have the beauty of technology, I can work with people all over the world. I have clients as far away as Australia, Malaysia, Europe, all over North America, all 50 states and Canada, and even a couple from South America. So, yes, I do. Now, when someone calls me, and if anybody does, by the way, I always respond in person. You won't hear from my people. You'll hear from me. So if anyone has a question or is interested and they reach out to me, I will always get back to them. If it's an issue that I don't think would respond well remotely, and there are some, then I would recommend and help the person find someone in their area to work with on a personal level. Because as you well know, both of you, there are some times when you just have to be in contact to use some of the techniques,
yeah,
for instance. But there are so many things. I would say 85% of the issues that most of us have, I like to call it everyday people with everyday problems that are holding us back, most of that is very workable, either via the phone or FaceTime or Skype. Absolutely. And it's a big part of my practice are remote sessions.
Okay, that's good to know. And I'll ask you, John, can you give out your website or your phone number for them to call you or set up a session?
Absolutely. And I always, as I said, respond in person, and all initial consultations are completely free of charge. I can be reached by phone at 1-800-369-1516, 1-800-369-1516. And my websites are pretty easy. Dr. Dr. John McGrail, J-O-H-N, and my last name is M, as in Michael C, capital G-R-A-I-L, like the Holy Grail, McGrail, drjohnmcgrail.com, and Hypnotherapy Los Angeles. Hypnotherapy is all spelled out, followed by Los Angeles, one big word, hypnotherapylosangeles.com. My email addresses are on there, my phone numbers on the websites, and there's lots of really good information about not just me, but you know how I do, and you can look at some videos and listen to clients I've worked with, and I appreciate the ability to put that information out there. But again, if someone reaches out and has questions, they will hear from me directly. No matter how many people reach out, I just make it a point of responding in person.
Awesome. Now, I have a this. I think that for some of our listeners, this is a question that when they try to go back and they try to figure out why they have a situation, do you as a hypnotherapist ever go back and you find yourself looking at a past life as a root cause to something?
Absolutely. And, you know, there's an enormous controversy over past life regression and whether we have lived in the past or not. I personally think that the science around reincarnation is becoming more and more overwhelming, too. It's just a huge body of knowledge. But, you know, there, as I said, I don't work with cookbooks or scripts or formulas. And I've had many cases over the years where we just couldn't find what was going on. And sometimes we don't even need to. Sometimes we can just treat the symptoms and things resolve themselves. But sometimes we have to go back and find cause. What caused this? What, you know? And very often it wasn't something in the person's memory in this lifetime. And so with past life regression, we can very often find the root cause of an issue that has carried over into this lifetime. And I've had some really amazing experiences along those lines, you know, fascinating. I could almost write a book just on that stuff. It's really,
wow,
it's really,
yeah,
something. Yeah. And, you know, whether or not it's real, in my opinion, doesn't matter. What's important is that we get a therapeutic effect. And the therapeutic effect is that the person feels healed and then they're empowered and they can go and get and live their life the way they want to. But yes, it's a very powerful tool when used appropriately, and that's when it's called for. I don't just do it gratuitously.
Right. Right. Wow. You know, and they talk, John, what's the youngest person that you work with?
Well, you know, like, interesting, about 7 is sort of the baseline age, but I had a 5-year-old a few years ago that was so precocious. She did really, really well. But usually the youngest is somewhere around, you know, 6 or 7 or 8 years old, depending on the child and how developed they are. And my oldest client is 86. And then I've got everything in between.
Oh,
we're never,
wow,
too old to empower our lives. You know, that I truly believe that. And I love working with kids. I have a lot of young people. They tend to respond really, really quickly because their minds are still a little bit more flexible than we adults. But even the 86-year-olds and the 85 and 84-year-olds and people in their 70s can do really, really well, provided they truly have a desire to change and they're willing to do the work. Because it's not magic. There is an effort involved on the client's part. And I'm sure both of you have the same sort of thing in your practices. I mean, you know, we bring what we bring to the party, but if the client doesn't have a sincere desire to make the change, to heal, then there's nothing we can do because we're not magicians. We're facilitators, or as my favorite shaman, Frank Fool's Crow, said, we're a hollow bones through which the energy of healing flows.
Okay. You know what we're going to do here, John? Let me ask you a question. Are you familiar with the Quantum Universe, the book The Quantum Universe?
I'm not, quite frankly, and I've read quite a few, but that's a new one on me.
Okay, that's a really good one. But, John, I'm going to go ahead and we have a caller on the line.
Okay.
So let's go ahead and see what kind of question we have. Hello, this is Bonnie.
The caller
are you there?
Caller dropped.
Okay. All right. It looks like the call dropped. John, for anybody that wants to know, what is a first session like with you? You know, do you do a consultation over the phone and then set up a game plan? Or, you know, is it a – I've worked with therapists before. Some like to go in and – start right away and some mm-hmm. like to do a little more talking. What is the mm-hmm. first session like with you?
Well, usually after an initial consultation, if we decide to work together, whether it's remotely or in the office, in my office, first session is sort of two parts to it. In the first part, I really get spend some time with the client. It's usually an hour and a half to 2 hours long, the first session. I really get an understanding about what they want to accomplish, and I try to get as much understanding as possible as to where their issue is coming from and what the history is. Then I take the time to explain to them, as I mentioned before, to help them understand how they got to be the way they are. Because so many people, first of all, don't know, and they think they're the only ones that are suffering. There's something wrong with me is a very common theme that I find with clients. So I let them understand that there's nothing wrong with them. So many people share this stuff. We all have stuff, and I certainly had mine. And after I create that understanding, I take them through some of the basic models so that they can understand how we're going to implement the process of change, and then we start the work. I always like to make sure that in the first session, the client has a chance to experience just how empowered and enthusiastic they can feel very, very quickly. So I get them used to going into trance and feeling how wonderfully relaxing hypnosis is, and we begin a meditative practice as part of their homework. So when they leave the first session, they feel a change, and they have extremely high expectations for success because expectations have a huge effect on our outcomes. So that's essentially how a first session works. Me getting knowledge, explaining what's going on, creating understanding, and then beginning the process of change and transformation.
Great. Now, we have Patrick, who's our producer, and he wanted to jump in here. Patrick, are you there?
Yes, I am here.
Great.
John.
And what
John,
is it?
First of all, I'd like to commend you on your presentation. My name is Patrick Walters, and I am the co-author of Quantum Universe and Einstein's Mirror.
Hi, Patrick. Nice to meet you, even though it's on the phone.
Right. Nice to meet you, too. But, you know, your presentation is very, very good, and a lot of good facts in there, and I definitely appreciate you coming on the show tonight, you know, because it was definitely an experience for a lot of listeners. And, you know, these are things that I've talked about for a while. I also have a PhD in physics, so, you know, I understand your whole theory.
Well, thank you very much. I appreciate that.
Yeah. And it's really cool.
Everything I want to say.
Well, I want to get your book because I don't believe there's ever enough knowledge, and I've read quite a few books around the quantum nature of the universe, and I'm really looking forward to reading yours. So thank
you.
They're
available on Amazon.
Perfect.
Just put in Quantum Universe and Einstein's Mirror, and you'll get both of them.
Excellent. Thank you.
And I'll probably be visiting your site, so just let you know, and I'll probably give you a little message.
Okay, terrific. Delighted to meet you.
Nice to meet you too, sir.
Yeah, and just to let you know, John, Patrick's books were written in the 70s, and they're still being taught from in universities today. You know, what he put out in the 70s is still holds true. So he was one of the four thinkers and kind of forefathers when it comes to bringing forth quantum physics in the early days.
Well, that's fantastic. Another one of my favorite books on the subject is called The Holographic Universe, which I'm sure Patrick is familiar with. It was written by Mr. Talbot. That was one of the first books I read during my reawakening, if you will, and it's just fascinating stuff. It's mind-bending, but it's so fascinating.
Well, I co-authored with Tony Hay in the UK, mm-hmm. and books are used in universities and colleges Quantum universe is used for introduction to physics, and Einstein's mirror is mainly for undergraduates, and that's also given out in a lot of different universities, and we've sold close to 8.5 million copies worldwide.
Oh, that's fantastic. Excellent.
So, you know, it's they're good books. I mean, they're really good books. You know,
oh, I have no doubt on that.
A lot of hard work. Well, that's all I got to say, a lot of hard work.
Yeah, I'm as was mine.
Yeah, well, you know, I understand. It is, you know, and the same thing. You know, we our books are more non-mathematical. Okay.
Yes.
And, you know, we have a lot of illustrations in them, and I did all the illustrations, but there's a great deal of illustrations in there that a lot of people can understand.
And that's what I tried to do with the synthesis effect, which makes something that's very complex, very understanding for the average person.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Well, I mean, the only way people really understand is, you know, is if, especially if you're giving them to giving them as an introduction to physics, you know, they have to understand what they're reading.
Right. Exactly.
You know, instead of running to the glossary or dictionary to find out what we're talking about, you know. So. But it's really a pleasure to meet another good person in this field that we both enjoy.
And I reciprocate those feelings, sir.
So, and I also was an officer in the Marine Corps, so I understand that part too.
Great, Semper Fi.
Semper Fi, and you in the Air Force?
Coast Guard, actually.
Oh, Coast Guard. Oh, okay. All right.
Yes.
I did
a tour with the Navy and Marine Corps at Pensacola, Florida as a flight instructor.
Oh, okay. Well, I did 3.5 tours in them.
Wow. Well, thanks for your service.
Well, thanks for yours. You know, I mean, you know, and these two ladies that I have on this show here are great people, and they know what they're doing, and it's good to have them on. So, you know, I hope hopefully we can have you back some other times, because I'd be more than happy to have you back on. That's no problem.
Well,
there.
Thank you. I'd be delighted. So. Where were we anyway? I can't. I sort of lost my train of thought here.
Sorry about that.
No worries.
I didn't mean to interrupt your train of thought.
No, I'm glad you did.
Okay, Bonnie.
Well, actually,
back,
you know,
to you.
It's time for another station break. So let's take a break, and when we come back, we'll continue with our questions for Dr. John McGrail.
Excellent.
Sounds good to me.
Because of you, families never receive a bill from St. Jude for treatment, travel, housing, or food. Because all a family should worry about is helping their child live. Plus, St. Jude freely shares the discoveries made. So every child saved at St. Jude means thousands more children can be saved around the world and in your community. St. Jude won't stop until no child dies from cancer. You can help. Continue the St. Jude mission of finding cures that are saving children by donating today with your heart. Please be generous, for those children need your help to survive. Please take action now and go to stjude.org. Thank you from the Triangle Variety Radio Network team.
Bella Spree is a free online magazine featuring columnists who are experts in their field. Bella Spree magazine covers topics about health and healing, spiritual growth, angels, inspiration, divination, and the paranormal. You can also receive guidance from our experts to your questions or follow your astrological and lunar forecast for the month ahead. Bella Spree magazine is offered free online for your education and enjoyment at bellaspree.com. Bella Spree means beautiful spirit, and that represents each and every one of us. Their logo is the diamond because it represents the full soul quality. Like a diamond, each facet is unique, holding a beauty all its own. Each facet represents a different characteristic of who we are as individuals. And yet, when we look at the whole diamond, with its flaws and inclusions, we see the exquisiteness of the diamond in its entirety. The collective of the whole soul quality, demonstrating that even in its imperfections, it is still seen as beautiful. Bellaspree Magazine spreads love, truth, and awareness to the world, leading the diamond in the rough to healing and growing into the best diamond we are all meant to be. Visit Bellaspree at bellaspree.com. That's BELLESPRIT.com.
Welcome back. You're listening to the Empowerment Zone with our special guest, Dr. John McGrail, author of The Synthesis Effect. An amazing conversation. And so I'd like to invite you, if you would like to call in, if you have a question for Dr. John or you have a comment that you'd like to make about The Synthesis Effect, be sure to give us a call at 949-272-9578 and select option 1, or you can choose to join us in our live chat room. So such an interesting conversation, John. Is there a limit to what the synthesis effect can be applied to? For example, is there a psychosis that doesn't respond to this effect?
Well, you know, that is exactly the one area where we have to be very careful. There are certain psychoses, in particular schizophrenia, which don't mm-hmm. necessarily respond well to these techniques. But over the course of, you know, of probably 85% of issues that people deal with, and that can include anxiety and chronic stress and depression, mm-hmm. these techniques can work very, very well. It really depends on the person. But, yeah, a person that's psychotic might not benefit. In fact, I probably wouldn't even take the case.
Yeah, I could see where that could, you know, you need to select a lender professional for that psychosis. But how much does fear play a part in causing our imbalances?
I think it plays a huge part. I think fear is one of the most prevalent, if you would, negative energies that we can experience. And interestingly, we're born only being able to fear two things. We can fear falling at birth, and we can fear loud noise. Those are the only two instinctive fears that any human being comes into life with. All the rest mm-hmm. of our fears are learned. And, of course, it's amazing what people learn to be afraid of. But I think any time you're feeling unbalanced or lack of self-esteem or self-confidence, there's an element of fear involved. And it's all. In fact, I would say that 80 to 85% of my caseload today, in the clinic at least, are people that are suffering from some sort of fear or phobic reaction or chronic anxiety. It's very prevalent in today's society.
Mm-hmm. It is. And unfortunately, there's this conditioning that I think we mentioned it earlier in the show that we get through, whether it's our family, whether it's our peers or on the workplace, we get this conditioning in our minds that we're not enough. And that's one of my biggest pet peeves, is for someone to, you know, feel as though nothing they do is good enough or they're not enough.
You know, it's so wonderful that you mentioned that, because we have, first of all human experience, our entire life is predicated and evaluated on only one concept, as you know, and that concept is contrast. That is mm-hmm. the scale that human beings have learned to use to evaluate the quality of our life. Good or bad, happy or sad, pain or pleasure, love or hate, peace or war. We can go all the way up to the basis of some of the Eastern philosophies, yin and yang. But it's all about contrast. And in modern Western culture, which we are a product of, we have become singularly talented at focusing on what I like to call the dark side, as you just mentioned, lack. Mm-hmm. insufficiency. I don't have enough. We're not enough. There's not enough. And we get so ingrained in this negative thinking that we forget on the other side of that coin is what we want: love, happiness, abundance, whatever that means to a given individual. So I agree with you. Not enough is one of the things that we have to get rid of. And no matter who I work with or what their issue, there's always an essence of fear and lack involved. Great point.
Yeah. Who would be considered an ideal client? Such as, do we need to have a particular mindset in order to be open to allowing the synthesis effect to work?
We absolutely do, Belle. I'm glad you mentioned that. And that's one of the reasons that I always do an initial consultation on the phone before a client comes in to see me. There are some common energies, I think. I call them energies because it is all energy. I call this the formula for change that are absolutely required. One, you have to really want it. And it's got to be for you, not because someone thinks you're going to be better off for it or you're doing it for someone. If someone says, well, I'm doing it because my wife or husband or boyfriend or girlfriend or whomever wants me to, I won't take it. The desire for change, whatever the change is, has to be yours and it's got to be genuine. You have to be willing to commit to yourself and the process because it is a process. All life is a process. It never, ever ends. But a lot of people are looking for the magic wand, you know, and I actually have one in my desk. And sometimes when someone comes in and they're looking for the, you know, tap me on the head and I want to be a different person. And I say, well, here's my magic wand. I'll tap you on the head. Now let's get to work because it doesn't work. So they have to commit to the process. And, you know, one of the beautiful things is that it doesn't have to take a long time. Most of my clients are with me for a very short period of time. If you think of, in terms of therapy, we're talking a few weeks, not months and months and months or years and years and years. And then the third sort of required energy is at some level a feeling of love, honor, and respect for ourselves. And most of us need a little help in that regard because, again, not only are we taught our fears, we are taught not to be very kind to ourselves or loving or respectful. So I always say, you know, part of the reason you're in trouble, client, Mr. or Ms. Client, is because you're not loving, honoring, and respecting yourself enough. But the good news is you reached out and you called and you're here, so you haven't completely forgotten how to do that. And so we start building that up right away. And so desire, commitment, some measure of love, honor, and respect for yourself so that you know that you deserve to make the change. And then we combine it with intention and expectation, and you generate a very powerful energy. And those are sort of the common denominators. The ideal client has to have those energies in place. And sometimes we have to boost them up here or there, but that's what the first session is all about, is to create that dynamic. And once you've created it, you're on the way.
Isn't that kind of a contrast to what we know as the norm in therapy, is that this is a program that we can utilize and receive quick results versus, as you said, years and years and years of therapy, because we've been conditioned to believe that, you know, therapy takes years and you know, or you're never healed. And that's the mindset that we I grew up with in therapy. You know, I studied psychology, and it's quite a contrast to what I was taught, but I believe you. You know, I believe that we can be healed in weeks. And again, it's that mindset. It's that decision that you make that I'm going to heal from this.
Yes, that's where it starts. It starts with, I think you said this earlier, being sick and tired of feeling sick and tired. Right. And once happens, that's when the magic can occur. And as I said, it's not magic,
ready.
But it feels magical. And it's, I can remember back when I had my sort of epiphany and started kind of, you know, as I like to call it, rediscovering who you really are. It's just the most exciting feeling in the world. It's like someone just turned a light on, and you were in a dark room stumbling around and tripping and falling, and then suddenly there's a light on and you can see your way. It's just such a cool feeling. And I love to watch that happen, as I'm sure you do.
Yeah, I do. I worked with a client in the past who had been seeing a therapist for probably about 6 months. And after 2 weeks of working with this individual, he came to me and he said, you know, he said, you did more for me in 2 weeks than my therapist has for me in the past 6 months. He goes, I don't understand how this worked. you know, and so it's a wonderful feeling to know that that the healing can take place quite quickly, and it's basically up to you.
Absolutely, and I have heard many stories of a similar nature. You know, I've been going to therapy for years, and here I am 3 weeks later, and so yes, and it's important for listeners out there to know that you can make these changes quickly and profoundly. All it takes is the right combination of help for most people, or the right book or whatever it is. But if you really want it and you're willing to commit to yourself, you'd be amazed at how quickly you can turn your life around and make it the joyful experience it's meant to be.
Mm-hmm.
So I'm glad you brought that up.
How freeing this can be.
Oh, indeed.
Yeah. Now, has there ever been anyone that you haven't been able to help?
Well, yes, truthfully. And as I mention all the time, excuse me, I have a bit of a frog in my throat. As I mention all the time, fortunately, very few people don't do well, because if it didn't work very well, I would be out of business and wouldn't have a living. But there are some folks, for whatever reason, who don't do well. Sometimes I've seen this happen many times. I've worked with thousands of clients over the last 15 years, and, you know, there have been a handful that just, they start to feel differently and they get scared.
Mm-hmm.
And so they
yeah.
run away, because we as a species are hardwired. It is in our DNA to cling to the familiar. Even when the familiar is painful or negative, we will just hang on to what we are familiar with. And we see that over and over again. And sometimes when people start to feel a change, it actually scares them away. Other people, if they don't get the magic wand sort of effect, you know, because we in today's society, everything is instant gratification. I want what I want, and I want it now. I want
mm-hmm.
information now. I want happiness now. I want my money now. I want my relationship now. And so if it doesn't happen instantly, they say, well, this doesn't work. And I say, well, you got to give it some time. This, you know, aren't you worth 3 or 4 weeks? You know, and so there are people for whom it doesn't work. Some people don't really want it, and that's why I won't take a case. If someone says, well, my wife or my girlfriend or whomever wants me to do this, I won't take them, because the chances are they're not going to put the commitment in to make the changes happen, because they're not doing it for themselves. It's got to be your change. It's not because your wife or husband or boyfriend or girlfriend or brother or whomever wants you to do something. Who are they to tell you how to live your life? It's got to be yours. So those are the kinds of folks that don't do well. Unfortunately, there are very few of them. Most of the folks that reach out to me are ready and
mm-hmm.
sometimes desperate, as I'm sure you get probably people like that too, that they've tried everything and nothing's worked. And I've heard that many times. I've tried all this other stuff and nothing's ever worked, and boom, here we are. Why didn't I call you first? And I think, well, I wish you had, but now you can send me all your friends.
Yeah. Well, you know, it's how can I word this? We're conditioned for that magic bullet. We want, you know, the magic wand, as you called it. But we sometimes need to accept the fact that going through the sense of this effect, it's going to be a little bit painful, because you're bringing up issues that you've pushed down inside your gut and didn't want to deal with. So you mentioned that it can take a very short amount of time, and you mentioned that there was homework that we needed to do. Can you tell us about some of that?
Well, yeah, reinforcement. Well, let me just take a step back before I talk about homework. Any of our subconscious program that we have, our attitudes, our values, our beliefs, the patterns that we behave with over and over and over again, have to be reinforced in order to become ingrained. And when we're changing
mm-hmm.
those patterns, when we're essentially taking the buggy software out of our subconscious computer and reprogramming it with new patterns, attitudes, values, beliefs, whatever they may be, that also takes reinforcement. Our brain, which is in a miraculous machine, needs repetition in order to learn. And when we are going through that process called neuroplasticity, when the brain is rewiring new circuits, without reinforcement, the rewiring doesn't take place or stay put. It becomes impermanent. So the homework, I like to call it self-work, so people don't relate it to school, because most of us didn't like doing homework in school. It was sort of a pain in the neck. I call it self-work. They are usually simple exercises, and it depends on the individual and where they are and what they're doing. But I always introduce some sort of meditative practice, because the tools that we use in synthesis create change quickly, but we want to maintain it systemically once we're finished. And I don't think that humanity has found anything else ever in our existence that is better at maintaining systemic energetic balance over the long term than a consistent practice of meditation on some level. And of course, as you know, there are many ways to meditate. So I assign different meditative exercises to different people depending on what their needs are and their sensibilities. But that's always part of it. It could be paying attention to their dreams, because dreams are very, very telling in what the subconscious mind is trying to vent and where things come from. I teach every client to become more mindful and present, because with some practice, once you use these tools, pretty soon it's not like you meditate once a day. It's kind of like you're living a meditation. You're actually living in mindfulness, and that's a very powerful way to go about it. So that's what the self-work is about. It's about reinforcing what we do in session, getting the person ready for the next session, and beginning to create this permanent new dynamic so that their life is the one they want rather than the one they thought they were going to be stuck with.
So what do you say to the person that goes, oh, I can't meditate?
Yes, you can. there's so much misunderstanding and fear and misguided information about meditation. It's the simplest thing on the planet. If you can daydream, mm-hmm. you can meditate, except we have you daydream on purpose with purpose. That's all there is to it.
Yeah.
Oh, but my mind is supposed to be empty. No, it doesn't. That's just one kind of meditation. And I don't know about you, but I've done Zen meditation. And every single time I have ever gotten to the place where I finally completely stilled my mind and I felt it, the first thing I did was, I did it. And, of course, then you've blown the whole thing. But that's not what it's about. There are so many ways to meditate powerfully to create this new dynamic. So as soon as they say, I can't meditate, I say, yes, you can. Can you count to 21? Yes, I can. Good. Take 21 breaths and count them. You're meditating. Now let's go. And we move on from there.
Good. Good answer. I like that. So do you use hypnosis when you're working with the process of synthesis?
Oh, absolutely. I use hypnosis a lot because it's a very powerful tool to affect change. And again, if people misunderstand meditation, they misunderstand and have more mythological beliefs around hypnosis. It is a natural state of consciousness. Every normal human brain enters what we would call hypnotic trance several times every day for your entire life. And some examples that I always give, anytime you watch a good film or even a TV show and you're feeling emotion, you're so enwrapped in the film, you are feeling fear or excitement or sadness or joy or whatever the film is trying to convey, you are essentially in hypnosis. You are responding to suggestion. Hypnosis just creates a very open, receptive state of mind. Nothing more to it than that. A daydream is a form of hypnosis. Driving on the freeway and sort of zoning out and then saying, oh, my God, where's my exit? Or how did I get here? That happens to you.
I've done that a lot.
So have I. Well, yeah, exactly. That's hypnosis. And so it's a powerful tool because it creates that open, receptive state of mind that we are in, say, when we watch a good movie. And when we are in that open, receptive state of mind, we can bypass the natural resistance to change that we all have, because that's more of a conscious process, and we can help that computer, the subconscious mind, which is about like a three-year-old child and never gets any older, unlearn the patterns, habits, behaviors, limiting beliefs, fears, whatever it is that's holding us back, and then reteaching it. It's kind of like teaching a three-year-old 2 + 2 = 5. And if you teach a little kid 2 + 2 = 5, the three-year-old will believe whatever you tell him. Santa Claus is coming. Oh, good, yay. And essentially with hypnosis, we can say, you know what, you learned 2 + 2 = 5. How's that working for you? And, of course, the subconscious mind says, not so good. I don't like it. It's very painful, but that's all I know. That's my programming. We say, well, okay, just erase it. Try this instead. Try 2 + 2 = 4. So, yeah, I use hypnosis in a variety of forms, every client, every session. And there are a variety of ways of doing hypnosis, just like there are a variety of ways of doing meditation.
Mm-hmm.
And it's so simple. Many times a client will say, well, aren't we going to do hypnosis today? And I'll say, we just did for an hour. Look at the clock. And they go, oh, my God, where'd that hour go? They didn't even know they were doing hypnosis.
They were having fun.
Yes, exactly.
And that's the basis of you know, our existence is lighten up, have fun.
Well, that's rule number one in my methodology. The first 6 words in my book, life is supposed to be fun, and I want to help you make it that way. That's what this is all about.
Yeah. Now, your methods are based on the belief that we create our own reality. Mm-hmm. What does that mean?
Well,
how does that correlate to quantum physics?
Exactly what I was about to say. It goes right back to quantum physics. Early on in the study of quantum physics, which, again, just as a reminder to the audience, is the study of the essence of matter and energy. It is the study of the world on a subatomic level. Newtonian physics, which most of us take in high school and some in college, is about the macro, the big things. And quantum physics is the study of energy itself. And early on, scientists discovered some very interesting things. An atom, for instance, we think of it, we learn in school that it's like a little solar system. We have a nucleus with protons and neutrons, and it's orbited by electrons, these little bits of matter. But what scientists discovered is that an atom is only a tendency. It's not real until it's observed. Once you observe an atom, it takes shape. They also found out, they discovered through these experiments early on, that subatomic particles, like a particle of light, a photon, or a particle of electricity, an electron, or a particle of radiation, can be both a particle, a distinct thing, and a wave, which is a continuum. And which form it takes depended on what the experimenter expected it to take. In other words, they proved, this is back in the turn of the century, that our thoughts, the energy of our thoughts, had an effect on energy, on light, or electricity, or radiation. So in essence, what quantum physics has proven beyond the shadow of a doubt is that through our thoughts, through our intentions, through our expectations, our emotions, all these energies that we produce through the process of living, that has an effect on our environment. It gets to it correlates directly to what we call the law of attraction. Energy flows along lines of attraction. Gravity does not repel objects, it attracts objects. We always say, birds of a feather flock together, or as ye reap, so shall ye sow. So essentially, what this means is that through your behaviors, your thoughts, your attitudes, your feelings, you attract an energy. Positive or negative, doesn't matter. Because in nature, and we are part of nature, we've forgotten that, but we are, out there in nature, there is no contrast. Remember, we talked about that earlier. Contrast is a human construct. That's how we evaluate our existence. But out there in nature, energy is energy is energy. So if you are putting a negative stream of energy out, you're going to attract a negative stream of energy back. That's going to be your reality. And if you put a positive stream of energy out, you're going to attract a positive stream of energy back. And I have this equation that I put in the book. It's called the quantum reality equation that shows my readers, and I use it with my clients, how we do this. But whether we like it or not, the bottom line is it feels like life is happening to us, and that is not the case. According to the science, we are creating what is happening to us. So that gives us a lot of power, and that's what this is about. It's about taking that power and creating what we want, again, rather than what we think we're stuck with.
Do you think some of us are afraid of that power?
I do, and I would raise my hand because early on in life, I've always had a very, very high level of sensitivity, intuitiveness. Some would call it psychic ability. I was always very, very aware of energy, and I was deathly afraid of it because I didn't know what to do with it. And back in the 50s and 60s when I grew up, there wasn't anybody to teach me, and it wasn't until I was in my 40s when I started saying, hey, you know, wait a minute, maybe there's something to this. And so, yeah, I think in Western culture, we have become so ingrained, first of all, in negativity, and second of all, in this concept of empiricist science, I'll believe it when I see it, that we are afraid of the concept of the fact that maybe the way the world really works is that if we believe in order to see, which is one of my favorite shamans, Frank Fool's Crow, Lakota Sioux, Ungala Sioux, maybe one of the most powerful shamans ever in the Sioux Nation. He said that all the time, the difference between the way the white man, modern technology-driven people, not just white people, but Western culture has to see in order to believe, and the native person, the red man, believes in order to see, and guess what? The science is proving that they were right.
Yeah, that's one of my favorite quotes, is seeing isn't believing, believing is seeing.
Precisely. And so one of the things that I do in my process is start working with my clients to start manifesting what they want. That's one of the first meditative exercises. Focus on what it is you want to be. Do it until it feels so fantastic, as if you've already done it, Now you're creating an energy stream. Guess what? That energy stream is going into the universe. Guess what? The universe has to send it back because energy flows along lines of attraction. That's the beginning of synthesis. And then, of course, we see the results. Oh, yay. And so we believe to see, to believe to see, and, you know, there we go.
Yeah, yeah. This is so interesting. Now,
isn't it cool?
Yes, I mean, oh, I'm a big fan of quantum physics myself, and so I'm sitting here shaking my head, you know, yeah.
Now, well, I love about it is that it's giving Western thinkers what they need. It's giving us the evidence, if you will, so that we can begin to start really manifesting powerfully, and it's helping us understand the nature of everything that exists, and. It appears that there is just this underlying infinite field of energy that everything is made of and everything is connected to, including us, and we can tap into that energy to manifest what we want. So, yeah, it's a great, fascinating field.
Incredibly so. I'm sold on your process, and I haven't even gotten your book yet. And I say yes, because I intend to. The name of your book, The Synthesis Effect.
Yes.
Why is your book and the process you introduced so different, and what makes it special? That's redundant, isn't it?
Yeah, it's a big question. And, you know, in answering it, I'm going to try very hard not to sound immodest. You know, when you write a book...
Oh, let it shine, dear. Let it shine. Go ahead.
Well, I had intentions. I wanted... First of all, let me say there's nothing new in my book. There's nothing new at all. What I talk about has been in existence since the dawn of mankind. And many, many books, like Patrick's books, explain a lot of what I explain in my book. And I say that to my readers. But I think what's different and is the way it's presented. It's the perspective with which you present information that can make a huge difference. And I had very high intentions when I set out to write the book. I wanted it to be, first of all, very casual in tone. I wanted it to be easy to read. I wanted it to be fun, so that people didn't think they were being preached to. I'm no guru. I am just a regular person. I have had my share of not having a very happy life, and I'm just like you. And this is a process that I happen to figure out. Part of it, I think, is divinely inspired, if you want, but here it is. And it can be fun, and I make it that way. I want it to be humorous. I wanted to create understanding. I wanted to give my readers a set of tools and a way to use the tools so that they can change their life. And along the way, I wanted to share stories of real people like you and me who have gone through the process with the same issues the readers have. And so that was my intention. And, you know, the proof is in the pudding. And I'm very gratified that I apparently have gotten it right. If you read the reviews on Amazon, I get emails from readers all the time that it is fun to read and it is very casual. It's like having a session with me, and it's not hard. And people, when they put the book down, want to go back. And after they read it once, they want to reread it. And so if it's special, it's because it works for so many folks. I, like you probably, I have read hundreds and hundreds of self-help books. Only a few of them have really had a lasting effect on the way I do the business of my life. And I wanted mine to be one of those, and I think, well, you said let it shine. It seems that that's the case, that it really, really works for lots and lots of people.
So can a person purchase your book and be able to self-help? I mean, can they follow your instructions and get that healing without calling you?
Yes. The short word is yes.
Not to get you out of business, but...
Well, no. That's what it was designed to do, and many people can and have used the book on their own to create whatever it is they want to create. I get letters and emails, and it's now published in mainland China, and it's published in Malaysia, and I'm getting feedback from Asia that... So, yes, the answer is yes. And, in the same breath, not everybody. Some people need a little bit more help, and maybe that's one of the things that also makes my book special. At the end of the book, I say to my readers, look, if this isn't enough, and it might not be, some people need a little bit more help in the form of a professional. It doesn't have to be me necessarily, but here's what you ought to look for. So I have a whole appendix in the book that helps people find the kind of professional help that will help them create the change they want. Because I'm not saying that I am it, or I am not saying that my process is the one. It's really good for lots of people, but if it's not enough, here's how you can go about finding someone that can help you. Here are the things to look for. Here are the kinds of questions to ask. And here's what you ought to feel before you commit to a session with anybody, whether it's me or anybody else. So, yes, it does stand on its own, and for some people there is going to be more necessary. And what I say to everybody, if you need help, get it. If you have a toothache, you go to the dentist. If your car has a dent in it, you take it to the body shop. We don't do our own surgery. So if you are having an emotional issue, or you're having, you're stuck in a pattern that you don't like, or you're not feeling happy, or your relationships aren't good, you deserve to have all that stuff. So go get the help, because it's there. We have this incredible resistance for some reason in our society to getting help for what we would call emotional or behavioral issues. It's sort of taboo, you know. And I grew up in New England where it's very conventional, and, you know, you just suck it up. You just suck it up. No. If you have a toothache, you don't just suck it up. You're in pain. So if you're in emotional pain or behavioral pain, there's help out there, and you deserve it. I tell everybody, and you have the ability. Every single person that's listening to this, Belle, you know this, and Bonnie knows this, every single one of us has the ability to create a life of our dreams. We have the ability. Will it take a little help to do that? Probably. But is it available? Yes. Do you deserve to get it? Absolutely.
Yeah, why not?
Why not? Life is supposed to be fun. It really is, and it can be.
John, this has been such an enjoyable show, and I've learned so much from you, and I'm sure our listeners have too. Please, once again, share with our listeners how they can contact you, your phone, your website, email.
Sure.
How to get the book.
Okay, fine. We'll start with the book, The Synthesis Effect. It's a hard title to say, and I'm not good at naming things, but it really does describe the process. It's available on Amazon.com, BarnesandNoble.com. It's out of stores now. It's had its run in stores until the second printing. They don't keep books in stores very long. Mm-hmm. Amazon, BarnesandNoble.com, The Synthesis Effect. My websites are drjohnmcgrail.com, drjohnmcgrail, M-C-G-R-A-I-L, like the holygrail.com, and Hypnotherapy Los Angeles, all one big word, hypnotherapylosangeles.com. And if anybody wants to reach out by phone, my 800 number is 1-800-369-1516, 1-800-369-1516. And again, if you reach out to me and have questions or want a free consult, you will hear directly from me. My staff does not do that for me. I do it.
You're a live person.
I am a live person, and I'm delighted. Even if it's 100 people, if it's 1,000 people, they will hear directly from me. And
well,
for those
again,
other people, for those people who have self-help issues, I do have some products available on my websites for some of the more common issues we deal with. They're very, very effective and very good, so you can take a look at the products too. And I'm sorry I cut you off. I didn't mean to.
No, that's absolutely, that's wonderful. Products are always good. You know, I'm all about trying to make myself into a better person, and who knows us better than we, you know, and contact Dr. John McGrail for your healing needs. John, thank you so much once again for joining the show with us.
Well, thank you so much for having me. You're both so kind and generous, and I'm delighted to meet Patrick over the phone, and
yeah.
I look forward to getting his books and taking a look at those as well.
We love Patrick. We love Patrick. Folks, thank you for listening in to tonight's show on the Empowerment Zone with your host, Bonnie Jean, Psychic Medium, and myself, Belle Salisbury. Don't forget to check us out next Wednesday, 7 p.m. Eastern. Our guest is going to be Robert Kopecky, How to Survive Life and Death, the Near-Death Experience. That's going to be an interesting show. I'd also like to thank Patrick Walters for being our producer, and for Triangle Variety Radio for being our sponsor for the Empowerment Zone. Everyone, have a great evening. Thanks for listening in. We'll catch you next week. Oh, I forgot to announce the winner. Duh! I'm so sorry. Very quickly, we have a winner of the psychic reading that was being offered by Bonnie Jean. Congratulations, Darren Redman. Please message Bonnie Jean on Facebook to schedule your free 30-minute psychic reading. Oh, my goodness. Did I blunder or what, you guys? This is fun. Have a great evening, everyone. We'll catch you next week, 7 p.m. Eastern, on the Empowerment Zone.